Good morning. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast, and this is a man named Lonnie.
Right now, we're on Martin Luther King Boulevard, McCullough Street. We just got a two-lane street on both sides going up and down. It's grass growing in the middle. Is it a store spot because it belonged to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.? God rest his soul. And, like, every time I cross this street, like, I just think about the man that he was and try to be like the man that he is.
You might drive down Baltimore's Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard every day and, unless traffic is snarled up, not give it much thought. Last January, on the holiday to celebrate Martin Luther King Jr., we took a look at the Baltimore Boulevard that bears his name. With me to talk about how the boulevard came to be and how it unites and divides the city was Celeste Chavis, an assistant professor in the Transportation and Urban Infrastructure Studies Department in the Morgan State University School of Engineering. And we were joined by Gerald Neely, a former transportation planner in the Baltimore City Department of Planning. Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard was opened to traffic a generation ago in late 1982. While it was being constructed, it was known as Harbor City Boulevard, but its name was changed by the General Assembly to honor Dr. King. It is very wide, six through lanes, plus left turn lanes and in some spots right turn lanes. I began by asking Gerald Neely what was there before MLK Boulevard.
A big condemned swath was there for quite a few years. It was originally supposed to be a full-fledged expressway, so they condemned a whole lot more than they really needed, and then they put in a surface boulevard to fill the void.
But it was essentially a residential area, or was there a street there?
Yes, there were small streets there. Fremont Avenue to the south, Myrtle Street in the north-south section, and then Biddle Street in the part up by McCullough.
And what was the thinking behind the boulevard?
They had condemned it for an expressway back when Baltimore was considering this, you know, huge, full-fledged, comprehensive expressway system. And then piece by piece, that expressway system got killed, and it left all this vacant land in its void. So you can think of Martin Luther King Boulevard as sort of an expressway light.
So moving cars is basically the philosophy behind it. Professor Chavis, how does a broad boulevard like MLK affect the communities around it?
Well, I think the MLK Boulevard is kind of serving as a bisector between West Baltimore and the downtown area, simply because of how fast the cars are moving and the volume of cars. So it makes it pretty difficult for anybody using a different mode, such as pedestrians, to go between them. So essentially, it cuts the two communities. And that bridge is kind of broken.
And how does that affect the communities, do you think?
I think it affects particularly the West Baltimore community because it's not seeing the same growth that we've been seeing in the downtown area. And so it becomes, you basically have to kind of revitalize the two communities separately since there's not really that interconnection between the two due to the fast-moving vehicles.
Gerald Neely, you're nodding your head. You agree?
I agree completely. I would just add that the sheer width of the road is a major factor. It isn't just the volume of traffic. It's how far you have to go in order to walk across the road and how long you have to wait for the traffic lights to change.
So it's not that there are not places to cross.
Correct.
It's just that you have to wait a long time.
Yes, there are also, especially in the northern section, there aren't enough places to cross as well. Between McCullough and Pennsylvania Avenue, it's a very long stretch without a crossing. That creates these big border vacuums between the communities and downtown, as Celeste just said.
Professor Chavis, as you said, it divides downtown from West Baltimore. How could it be redeveloped, in your view, to fit better into the city around it?
Well, one of the interesting things I think about the corridor is it is so wide. So there is a lot of land that could kind of be repurposed in a way. You have the really large median, and from what I believe also on the side of the road, like the sidewalk space is pretty wide. So it does allow engineers, planners some flexibility when it comes to redesigning the corridor. So some things that have been done is trying to have more of what's called a complete street. And what that means is you're trying to design the street for more than just the car. So you're designing the street for all users who would be on it, whether they're pedestrians, in their car, in transit vehicles, et cetera. And that's kind of like the new mindset of planners and engineers today is to try to design for the throughput of everyone and not just the throughput of cars.
On Maryland Morning WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast. I spoke in January about Martin Luther King Boulevard with Celeste Chavis, an assistant professor of transportation and urban infrastructure studies at Morgan State School of Engineering. Also with us was Gerald Neely, a former Baltimore City transportation planner. Gerald Neely, you've written about this in the Baltimore Brew, possibilities of redeveloping the boulevard, but it's still, even as Professor Chavis described, going to be a broad stretch from one side of the boulevard to another. How does that actually connect the city more?
Yeah, I think the traffic is going to stay there. I don't think there's much you can do about that. And I think that narrowing it down is probably the best way to provide some relief. You know, it's always going to be difficult.
Narrowing it down by getting rid of the median, narrowing it down by getting rid of lanes of traffic.
Yeah, just as she said, there's a lot of you know, extra space. You could definitely narrow down the median, which is just dead space, and then the right turn lanes aren't used very much. The left turn lanes, which is where you have to wait for the traffic in the opposite direction, those lanes are very well used. But the right turn lanes, which are pretty much free flow, some of them are really, you know, overly free flow. We could get rid of those.
But if you narrow it down, then you're not going to move the buildings closer together that are now on either side. So what does that streamlined land become?
There's a lot of empty space. There's a lot of still leftover parcels from when the original expressway plan was devised, and they're just sort of, they made them into parkland, but it doesn't really relate to anything else. You know, it's green space, but it doesn't belong to anybody. It's not a people place. That's basically what you need, is to convert it into something that's a people place.
And how would you do that?
And that requires good design. The parkland from block to block needs to relate to the other blocks, make it more of a linear park where you would jog along the whole length or ride your bike along the whole length in the parkland.
Professor Chavis, do you think MLK Boulevard would be built today?
Yes, probably.
Really?
I just think it's such an important connector between Baltimore and D.C. for people who are leaving the D.C. area and coming into Baltimore, that it probably would be built differently, but there would be some major road letting off of the 395 highway, allowing vehicles into the downtown and northern areas of the city.
And do you envision that Baltimore would be stuck with this divide you've talked about between downtown and West Baltimore?
I think it would be done in a much smarter way today than what it was done prior to. So there would still definitely be a major corridor for vehicles. Probably would have been a bit smaller, maybe not as many lanes, depending on how the planning was done. But it is a vital link, I believe, for the city.
The traffic on Martin Luther King Boulevard may divide people. It also attracts some people. For panhandlers, it can be a resource. Here's James, who told us he's homeless.
I've been on the street roughly a year now. I come up here to Martin Luther King, you know, every day just about, and I try to, you know, make ends meet, whatever I can get. You know, people help me out, give me a dollar or two here or there. And, you know, some people, it's surprising. You would think more people would help you. But, you know, some people, they got it messed up out here so bad that people don't want to help you anymore, you know?
Gerald Neely, in your view, does MLK Boulevard reflect the values that Dr. King stood for, like civil rights and economic equality?
Well, it's a physical barrier, much more than a racial barrier, I think. I think it is what it is. It's just this huge wide thing with huge amounts of traffic going back and forth. And that is, in my mind at least, separate from the racial issues in Baltimore. There are lots of other barriers and streets and things in Baltimore that are more racial barriers. Sometimes it's both physical and racial. For example, West Baltimore Street, west of Martin Luther King Boulevard, is much more white south of Baltimore Street than it is north of Baltimore Street. That constitutes more of a racial barrier with all the sociological issues. Martin Luther King Boulevard, in a way, is actually an easier problem to solve because it's a physical problem. It's just designing the streetscape in order to fulfill people's needs, you know, which is easier than actually, you know, getting into the content of people's character, as Martin Luther King did.
Professor Chavis, how do you think this boulevard connects or doesn't connect to Dr. King's legacy?
From the transportation standpoint, a lot has kind of moved towards making sure that we design for everyone. So making sure the person who doesn't have a car has the same access as someone who does have a car. So these major streets like MLK kind of show kind of the work that we still need to do in our field, where we do need to make sure that we invest evenly. So we're not just investing in cars, or we're not just investing in transit for those who are working downtown. So in a very micro scale, it kind of does show what work still needs to be done, I think, for the city.
I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you. Thank you both.
Good answer.
Thank you.
Celeste Chavis is an assistant professor in the Transportation and Urban Infrastructure Studies Department in the Morgan State University School of Engineering. Gerald Neely is a former Baltimore City transportation planner. We've got links to his thoughts on redeveloping MLK Boulevard in the online news site The Baltimore Brew at our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass. There's more ahead on Maryland Morning. Stay tuned to 88.1.